Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry research team, and we're getting ready for another of our episodes called The Bible on Trial, and we're glad you're here with us today. Today is July 6, 2018, and we are going through a fairly substantial heat wave out here on the left coast today in sunny Southern California. Leftist coast, yes, as opposed to the right coast. The leftists have left us. Oh, gosh. Okay. In any case, it's going to be hot here today, and we figure this, we're all going to be going to heaven because we're already have spent our time in hell here in Southern California. We encourage you to use the facilities here on Blog Talk Radio to the best advantage. You can go to our website anytime you want and download any number of the past episodes, including today's episode, and you'll be able to upload that just shortly after we close out here today at about 11 o'clock. We also have up on our chat room the pertinent information that you will need to get in contact with us. The official website is at spiritoftruthministry.net. Our email address is spirituftruthministry@gmail.com. And if you want to get a hold of us on our email, on our mailing address, you can mail letters to us at P.O. Box 1013, Cala Mesa, California, 92320. Let's have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we honor your names. We honor you because you are the source of truth. And more than anything, we want to know the truth. More than any amount of gold, more than any amount of jewels, more than any friendship, we desire to know the truth. And we acknowledge that when we listen to you through your words and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will find the truth. So thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. And good morning, Rick. What do you got for us today?
Well, let's see. Has to do with Bible on Trial, of course, and to reassure the listeners that we have not leftist our senses.
Nice. Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
Willful ignorance will not get you what you want, but it will make it seem like you have gotten what you want.
Right.
To take a look at the Bible objectively, realistically, and truthfully, As I have said previously several times, the Bible is a compilation of writing. A compilation is just that. It is writings from different people that have been assimilated together in a single volume so that the reader doesn't have to go find all the material themselves. And to determine for themselves whether the compilation is consistent with the parts that have been compiled within the book between the covers.
And someone, some human being, had to actually do the compiling, or some group of
beings. It was compiled by a committee. And I challenge anyone to show me where a decision by a committee of persons with dissimilar views ever accomplished something that was consistent and helpful and truthful. A committee decision is always a compromise unless all members of the committee are of one mind.
And that would be a miracle.
Yeah. That would be a miracle for sure. The Bible does contain words of God.
I heard a very interesting definition for a committee many years ago. It's a entity with 10 or more legs and no brains.
That sounds pretty good.
Well, that depends on whether or not you're on the committee or not.
Yes.
If you're on the committee, you certainly would take issue with that.
Oh, definitely.
You may say, well, maybe no brains except for mine. I have a brain. You remember what I discussed within the last 4, 6 or so sessions about righteousness and the process to meet all of its demands? Do you remember what the first demand of righteousness is? That's why I'm revisiting it. What kind of baptism?
Water.
Water. Okay, good. Thank you, Larry.
But there are things that actually precede that, aren't there?
Well, you would have to make a conscious, determined decision to enter the process. Now, you can mindlessly be baptized. For various reasons, when you have been brainwashed, indoctrinated, and whatever, for whatever religion that you have been convinced by that you should be baptized into, yes, you have to make a decision. Somewhat like Dolores. My dad, of course, as you know, was a pastor of Seventh-day Adventist Church for 29 years. he started in the ministry as an evangelist at the ripe old age of 19. And, of course, when you start out as a pastor, you get basically the churches that no pastor worth his frock would want to go to. I guess it's a good initiation and training. So he went from this area where I live now to an area that you would say the address was in Hills County.
Needles?
No, worse, Blythe. And he held evangelistic meetings in Blythe. Yes, there were people living in Blythe at the time. There's a few more living there now. And Dolores was a young girl of color whose mother had convinced her that she needed to be baptized. But Dolores was deathly afraid of water. Deathly afraid of water. And of course, as the Seventh-day Adventists, much like the Baptists, the baptism is performed in a tank, like pool, and you are submerged under the water completely, and that thought of that was just, well, it was, I was going to say the least, unnerving for Dolores. But her mother had, in effect, let Dolores know by, in no uncertain terms, that if she did not get baptized, she was not going to go through those pearly gates. So, caught between hell and the deep blue sea, Dolores decided to go forward with it. And my dad, of course, had the privilege of baptizing Dolores. Well, Dolores went trembling down into the baptismal tank, and her mother, of course, was standing right there for support. Mm-hmm. And my dad said the prayer, and he said that I baptize you in the name of, you know, and so he went to dunk her, and she resisted. And he tried again, and she resisted. So her mother thought that she would be helpful in encouraging Dolores to resist. And so she said, and now this is exactly how my dad relayed the story to me, because, of course, I wasn't there. I hadn't been born yet. Dolores, Dolores, the Lord says yes, and the devil says no. And then she looked at my dad and gave him the sign of, dunk her now, dunk her now. And this went on in front of the, you know, congregation that was there, somewhat mystified by the whole ordeal. Dolores had decided to take the first step in meeting the demands of righteousness, even if it meant she had to do something that was completely petrifying to her. Now, just in case you were wondering, my dad did manage to baptize Dolores. And I'll leave it at that. So what does this have to do with the Bible on trial?
You're overcame one fear with another fear, huh?
Well, that's not where I was going, but you could say that. When you look at what the Son of God, who, now, do you know what the Son of God's claim was as for the reason that he came here and what he was doing? Well, you know, I know Dennis, John 18,
36, 37.
Yep. He came here to testify to the truth,
right,
which Pilate thought, you came all the way from heaven to testify to the truth? Well, there is no truth, you know. I mean, to the leftist, truth is whatever you want to believe and however you want to see the world is.
To the rightist, the truth is whatever you've been told.
But not by the leftist. The leftists do have, I know why they are the left, is because left starts with an L, and there's another word that starts with an L that we are talking about. I'll let you figure it out. Well, no, that's not the word, but whatever fits. Truth. What is truth? If Pilate had come to the conclusion that truth did not exist,
yeah,
how would someone come to that conclusion? I mean, if truth does not exist, then how would you be able to have a legal system,
mm-hmm,
where a court would determine the truth in the matter, mm-hmm, of the law if there is no truth? Because the truth and the law, as you can watch or listen to on the radio or watch on TV today, the law is just whatever you think is right or left.
I have a friend who says God is the only one that knows the truth, and he's not sharing it.
Well, and
I go, really?
He's not sharing it. And what would be his purpose in doing that?
No purpose.
Well, the purpose for a God, any size G, in not sharing the truth,
mm-hmm,
is because there's something about,
yes,
the truth that God doesn't want you to know.
Exactly.
But you know, what's going on at the border is, you know, people, I'll just say people, I won't use the L word again, have decided they are the moral authority, and that whatever they decide is the moral thing to do, it precludes any law to the contrary, even though the same people, which I'm not going to say again, made the law in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are,
mm-hmm,
right now. And that's, when I bring that up, I'm not trying to harp on some political thing that's going on today. What I'm saying is that what we are seeing in our country and in the world is what we also experience from people in the Bible and with the Bible. So that's why we have in Christianity, Catholics and Protestants and evangelicals and fundamentalists and any manner of Christian cult or, dare I say, unique practice. And then, of course, you have the pagans and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Shintos and atheists, heathens, you know, I mean, you could go on with the list. And you could say, well, what I believe in is the truth. But someone who does not believe as you believe would take issue with that. And usually what that ends up with, well, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and that's all that matters, is that what I believe, I am satisfied with. What I believe, I am satisfied with. So most Christians say, I believe in Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, are you open mic to somebody?
No.
Who is God's Son, and he is my Savior and my salvation. And if you don't see that, if you don't see that, that's your problem. But I'm satisfied with that. That's the same thing as those who are protesting at the border about what they perceive as man's inhumanity to man, which they have equated with Nazi Germany and what they did in Nazi Germany. Now, how on earth that could possibly be an equivalency, I still am scratching my head about that. But the thing is this, right and wrong are determined personally from your own biases. Now, the man and the woman in the garden, if that was a valid argument, could have used that argument. God, we know what your law was, but we determined that that law was stupid. It was irrelevant.
Not in our best interest.
Yeah.
Why would you say you can eat from 1,000 trees in this garden paradise, but you cannot eat from this one in the middle. That one's mine and you're not to touch it. Well, we decided that that was an unfair law, and especially when you say that if we dare touch it, you're going to kill us. Well, we decided on our own that that was a totally unfair law, and that was an overreach on your part.
Didn't work out so well, did it?
Righteousness. What?
Doing right.
Yep.
Virtue. What is virtue? Another way of saying righteousness.
Integrity.
Integrity. What is integrity?
Righteousness.
We can go through honesty, uprightness, faithfulness. But does it really matter? I mean, like, we here we are living in this country of laws, and there are people who have decided that some of the laws are stupid, inhumane. They have determined they are. It's not a decision arrived through a lawful process, because the law is the enemy. The law is the enemy. The law is the tyrannical tyrant. And so these would challenge God's authority as being invalid or inhumane or outdated. And of course, it doesn't matter that he claims to have created us and everything here, and that gives him the rights that he has, because once he gave us a soul, the mind, and the freedom to choose, we should be free to choose that we want nothing to do with God and not be put to death for it. And then, of course, on the other side, there are those who say, well, we can break the law, and God in his great love and mercy would never put us to death. Yeah. So left or right, the end is the same. God either would not or could not put us to death. And then what do we have to worry about? Who's in power, the left or the right? That's all we have to worry about. You know, where this country is going, where the world is going, and does it matter? Because since we have made God irrelevant, what happens when the earth degrades into one or the other camp? What do we end up with? What we end up with is not a pretty picture at all. Look at what happened to communism in Russia and the Eastern Bloc. Look at what happened to socialism in Venezuela and other countries that have chosen socialism, and see that socialism is getting a foothold in the democratic left.
We just, I guess it's New York State, just had an out-and-out socialist, 19-year-old young lady, elected for the very first time.
Wow. To run for the Senate seat of a four term.
And become the next Obama.
So where am I going with this? Where are we going with this? Those who believe that there will be an end, but just not in their lifetime. Every generation that comes along believes the same thing. And if that is true, then there will never be an end, except what mankind determines for themselves. What will be their end? Well, now we have the Savior. Well, to some, he's a devil, and to some, he's a savior. That makes sense. And he is tasked with righting the ship. That's pun intended, by the way. Dennis.
I'm not embarrassed because I wish I
was. That's what I was going to say. I thought I'd have a little different approach today. If you don't like it, please keep your feelings to yourself. It probably won't stay this way. Anyway, to God the Father, it was important enough that as pathetic as we may be, we were still made in the image of God and after their likeness. And to God, that means something. To God, that means that human beings are worthwhile endeavors because they were made in the image of God and after their likeness. They have a responsibility to perform consistently with the being they look like and should think like. Mm-hmm. And it meant enough, and truth was nowhere to be found except in the law and the prophets, and who paid attention to that? Because it had been so corrupted. Oh, but the law and the prophets, not the Holy Torah? The Torah was the law and the prophets were the prophets. And even the self-righteous Pharisees were saying that if we had been alive back then, in the days when the prophets were warning the people and the king that coming, we wouldn't have mistreated them and put some to death and ridiculed and imprisoned and punished any of them. Why, we would have been right there defending them to the death. And yet these are the same individuals that were plotting to kill the Son of God, the very God that they were questioning the motivations and purposes of their forefathers in response to his messengers, his prophets that he sent. So who is the bigger hypocrite? The Son of God referred to them all as hypocrites. Now, what is a hypocrite? Well, all you have to do is take a look at Hollywood. Hollywood, a nest of hypocrites. Now, there are one or two that are not. But they don't dare say anything because, like, the prophets were mistreated back in the day, they are mistreated also. Truth is always seen as the threat and the enemy. Why? Because we live in a world that functions on lies and darkness. Lies and darkness. That's why the Son of God came here to this pit of darkness. Like I said before, and hopefully you're starting to see that, we live in the physical world, but we exist in a spiritual realm. A spiritual kingdom. And what determines which spiritual kingdom we are in is what is in our intellect. Not the fleshy heart that pumps the blood throughout the body, but the magnetic heart that has a magnetic field that holds together the thoughts, the information. And the spiritual kingdom of darkness, ruled over by the prince of darkness, who is called the ruler of this world, has ensured that everyone in his kingdom believes that they are in the kingdom of light, no matter what they believe. That whatever it is that they believe and worship, they see as light, when in fact it is darkness. What determines whether you are living in darkness or living in the light? That you believe unwaveringly that you are in the light and you are not in the darkness, or the facts in the matter? Do facts matter? Only if they're consistent with how you perceive your reality. And that we see demonstrated daily on the news and various other media devices.
Or in our local church.
In our loco church. We are in the spiritual kingdom of darkness when what we believe and practice and know is a lie. And no amount of trying to convince ourselves that it is not a lie, and that everybody else believes in a lie, or that anything new that comes to you and challenges what you believe is a lie, will dissuade you from that position. Because you and those who are like-minded were born in the light. I mean, just know it. This religion is right, not that religion, but you go to those people with that religion or that spiritual practice, and they will tell you they have the truth. And then there are those who say, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. And that's your truth. That's your light. So in effect, what you're saying is, I have the light because that's what I'm happy with. It works for me. You have your light. It isn't what I believe is the light, but you have your light. And if it works for you, then that's fine. That's your light. But if they are contradictory, how can they both be light unless you're lying to yourself? And if you're lying to yourself, you can rest assured there's no truth in your intellect. Choosing to be blind is like the little child who is scared by a noise and hides themselves under the covers will definitely work. Mm-hmm. The Son of God was telling his disciples about this and more just before he went away. And he said, don't be concerned, don't be worried, and don't be afraid. I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you as orphans. In John 16, with verse 5, I did not tell you this from the outset because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Yet You are sad at heart because I have told you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. I must tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going. Because unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send, and I'm going to change the word here, sorry, her to you. And when she comes, she will show you, she will show the world how wrong it was. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah.
For the world.
Mm-hmm.
How wrong it was about sin. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong about sin? So what you can rest assured is that whatever you believe now about sin is wrong. I will send her to you, and when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin.
Mm-hmm.
So who is the you he was talking about? Probably his own disciples and followers. And then he didn't limit that to them. He said the whole world. And about who was right, who was in the right, and about judgment, about sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. Judgment, sin, right, wrong. About sin proved by their refusal to believe in me. About who was in the right, proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. About judgment, proved by the prince of this world being already condemned. Prince of this world? Who's that?
Satan.
Well, and again, we talked about this any number of times. If you are a born-again Christian, you believe implicitly that the prince of this world is Jesus Christ, because he has been placed in authority. God has placed him in authority over everything. And according to Paul, Jesus did not count that as something to be, you know, expressed by himself to others. He was so humble that he just gave it all to God after he had done after he had died on the cross. He just turned everything over to God. The problem with that is Jesus himself has talked about the prince of this world is coming and I have nothing to do with him. So there's a dichotomy.
And of course, we also find that in Revelation 12. Woe to the world, because the devil has come down to you and he is filled with rage. Ah, but sin? I still have many things to say to you, but they would be too much for you now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, she will lead you to the complete truth. How many people who believe in the Son of God and God and the Holy Spirit believe that you can know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Well, again, not to put too heavy a burden on religion, but Christians believe that it's impossible to know the truth. If you are a Christian, it's impossible to know the truth, because if knowing the truth actually can happen, it must mean that you have to do the truth, and doing anything eliminates the idea of salvation by faith.
What is important is each one's walk, whatever that is, each one's walk. As long as their walk, in their walk, they are accompanied by God's Son.
You know, I find this fascinating. One of my favorite authors is Robert Heinlein, and I don't want to get off too much in this, but he has a quote that goes right along with what we're talking about today. He had questions. A long and wicked life followed by 5 minutes of perfect grace gets you into heaven. An equally long life of decent living and good works followed by one outburst of taking the name of the Lord in vain. Then have a heart attack at that moment and be damned for eternity. Is that the system? You see, what we are seeing in religion is that in order to accomplish what the premise of that religion is all about, you have to simply give up and simply be who you are. If you listen to the Tao yoga practice, the spiritual part of yoga practice, if you look at the we were talking about the Book of Mormon earlier. The practices of religion make it impossible to do anything and be saved. The only way to be saved is if you do nothing and simply accept what is. And I find this very distressing, only because Jesus did not teach that. So it's evident to me that while Robert Heinlein was questioning, at least at this point, at least at the point when he died, he never found the answer.
Well, and the thing is that if all that happens when you question is that the answers are all lies, how is that improving your situation, and how is that answering your question?
Exactly. And so Robert Heinlein said, I never understood how God could expect his creatures to pick one true religion by faith. It strikes me as a sloppy way to run a universe. And he is absolutely correct in that statement.
Yeah. But the thing is that is the way that people perceive what God wants. The devil is extremely happy with that, because thinking, intelligent people are put off by stupid answers that they receive to intelligent questions. God is so misrepresented in this world by all the religions, whichever God it is that they claim to worship and serve. So misrepresented by all the religions of this world that no wonder intelligent thinking people would say, if God is like that, I want nothing to do with him.
That's exactly right. Absolutely right.
I do not blame them. But you see, that's how the devil wins. You don't need to believe in the devil to belong to him. In fact, he would just as soon you didn't believe in him. Because if you believe the devil doesn't exist, then how are you going to protect yourself against what the devil brings upon you? That statement in that movie where the teenage girl was possessed, and the mother refused to believe that she was possessed because the devil didn't exist. And if she believed the devil didn't exist, he didn't exist, and there had to be some other explanation for the supernatural manifestations of her teenage daughter.
This is The Exorcist.
No, it was not The Exorcist.
Hmm.
This was the one where the exorcist was an ex-priest and the teenage girl was his niece.
Hmm.
Supposedly based upon a true story. The ex-priest in the movie says to the mother, "The devil does not need you to believe in him to exist." If you think this world has been left up to humanity to keep it upright, then we certainly are looking at a dark future. Mm-hmm. Baptism. Water baptism, I've talked about. It is the first demand of righteousness. The Son of God told Nicodemus that in order to enter the kingdom of God, everyone has to be born from above. All right. So how can you be born from above? Well, Nicodemus kind of misunderstood and says, well, how can someone, you know, when he's old, go back into his mother's womb? Because that's all Nicodemus knew about being born. Born from above, the spirit realm. When he said, you are from below, I am from above, what does that mean? I live out there in the heavens and I'm above you. Is that what he means? And you are from down below my planet where I live, so you are below. No. He's talking about the two spiritual kingdoms. The kingdom that is above is spiritual and is light and is lawful and is loving and law-abiding. The one that is from below is dark, it is lawless, it is built on fabrications and prejudices, and it will not last. So how do you leave the spiritual condition that you are in below and enter the kingdom that is above? Because you certainly can't leave this earth to enter the kingdom above. Or is that just kind of nonsense? He went on to say, except one is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And unless you're born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so what do people do? Well, you know, when you don't, when the truth doesn't matter, or you see that the truth is nowhere to be found, and what is the truth anyway, then believing a lie is second nature to you. So when you say you must be born of the water and born of the spirit, all you need to do is say, I've been baptized and I have been born again because I jabbered in tongues, or I felt the spirit moving within me, or I had a vision, or I heard a voice, or I just knew that the Holy Spirit has given me new birth and I am in the kingdom of God, and that's all. It is just a statement of belief. And you believe it strongly enough, and you can convince yourself and everybody else.
And the necessary factor there is that you must believe it by faith. If you even try for truth, you are denying the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Well, and even in his prayer, when he said, Father, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Well, his word is whatever you believe it is, right? His word is in the Bible, and there's parts of the Bible that were not God's word, but if I believe they were God's word because they fit my paradigm, then I'll believe that part and not the other part. I'll say the other part was for somebody else. This part is for me. God is speaking to me here. And that other part, no, he's not speaking to me. He's speaking to somebody else, because it works for somebody else. That certainly is not unifying. And let me tell you one thing. If I tell you anything, I'm telling you this. The way you can tell for certain whether you are believing to and holding to and practicing the word of God is when it unifies everyone into that practice. The word of God does not divide, except lies from truth. So if you say that part works for some, but it doesn't work for me, what has that done? One of you or both of you are believing a lie, because the word of God unifies. I'm not making this up. It was in the Son of God's prayer. I'm praying for them so that through their words, talking about his disciples, they will be one just as you and I, Father, are one. Now, the Son and the Father are one because they have no lie in their mind. They have no lie in their heart. They think the same because the truth is singular and absolute.
Thank you, Rick. I encourage our listeners to go and download this or any number of other programs that we have put on our Blog Talk Radio website. We encourage you to go to spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around, especially at the book, The Spirit of the Church. This is the primer for everything that we do here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. I want to just give you today's totals for spiritoftruthministry.net. We now have 24,336 people, and that last it was 35 as of about 3 seconds ago. So we'll see you all tomorrow. Have a great day, and we'll wish you good luck.